Yo, internet, it's your boys, brothering around, back at it again. We got Wes Gardner, myself, Mr. Marco Flores, Nerd in the Bay right there.
Welcome to this legendary podcast made by these incredible, infamous brothers, Marco Flores and Wes Gardner.
The sonic aura that encapsulates the very nature of mankind can be heard through the iTunes feed of Brothering Around.
The podcast is so real, it makes me want to not listen to live radio ever again.
I don't need to listen to real human voices because the podcast is so high fidelity, so just potent with audible clarity.
Strong.
Ugh. Just the legends at Brothering Around. Jesus. Okay, so let's just get into it. What we're talking before you even start,
like, you sent me that video like a couple days ago, and I didn't believe you. I didn't believe you, like, as much as you were talking it up. I didn't believe you. When I saw this clip, I was like, oh gosh, what is this? What is this travesty?
Oh my God! So okay, should I name the person? Yeah, so I'm gonna set the stage. I just glanced on this video. You know, I got Skyrim Special Edition for free. I own Skyrim and all the stuff. That was kind of my Twitch claim to fame. Playing Skyrim, like Skyrim. They brought out a new Special Edition, has higher fidelity graphics that are so real. Higher fidelity graphics, different lighting, like volumetric stuff, and you know, it's fine. The big benefit is it's a 64-bit architecture, which means that it can use more memory on your computer, so it runs better, and it makes your computer less hot, and like all sorts of stuff. So it's a better version of the game, simply because.
Right.
You can use more of your hardware, and I mean, this game came out in 2011 anyway, so we're talking about half a decade has passed since this game has come out, so it's getting to be an older game, but this kind of revamp is almost, think of it like an HD remaster put out for PS4, yeah. Xbox One, and PC.
Are we talking about Skyrim?
Why could we be talking about Skyrim? So, I see this video. I was looking just for impression videos. I was getting it for free anyway, right? I was just looking to see what people think about this thing. And, well, I found a fucking guy.
You found the guy.
Oh, the guy. Should I name drop him? Do we got to call out Bad Brothers?
We're brothering around, dude. Like, dude,
we're brothering around.
I don't know.
Okay, and I'll put the video in the show notes.
Yeah.
I got to.
It's fine.
Like, we got to reference it. So yeah. People can just see the artistic canvas. Oh, my God. Okay.
Picturing.
So, whatever he's on. I want some of it. So, this guy, it's a 13-minute long video. And he is waxing all kinds of poetic about, and all it is about the graphics of this game. And it's a 5-year-old game. But guys, we are not kidding you. When I say
he's literally like bukkaking on this game.
This is a full on this is an NC-17 just vile just splooge fest that this dude goes on. And I have never heard shilling like this in my entire life. And we've been in the game for a while. We've been talking about video games and getting stuff from developers and publishers. Oh God, probably at least 5 years, if not longer. I mean, we've been doing the podcast thing for a long time and Twitch and YouTube. So you get in contact with indie devs, you get in contact with kind of the double and triple A developers. And I guess nowadays it's called an influencer. They don't call them reviewers. But it's like, here's a paid influencer. So, Soda Poppin' on Twitch, he's an influencer because what he says, his 20,000 miscreants are gonna follow. Whatever Lord Soda Poppin' says, Everyone else is going to follow. So, but this guy makes this video and he says up front, hey, I got the game for free. And then he says, from the legends at Bethesda. So right there, and this is
started like 4 seconds.
Seconds in, it's like, here we fucking go. So, and to set the stage, okay, so we've gotten free stuff. I've always been really open about whenever I get stuff sent from developers. We got hooked up from Square Enix with Triad Wars, that follow up from Sleeping Dogs. Yeah. We got, God, how many keys did we give away on Twitch? Like 200? We gave away
a
mountain of keys, man. They hooked me up good. But I would play the game, and I'm like, yeah, I like parts of this. Like, I recommend people playing it. But there's some stuff that, you know, it's not my favorite, but it's a fun game.
You gotta be honest about it.
You gotta be honest. You gotta be open. I mean, that's the least you can do. If a publisher is trusting you and your opinion with sending it out to your people, people don't want you to just turn on the, like, hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to WB frog it. You don't have to do all that. You can tell people what you really think about this thing and then be like, hey, if you're interested in it, you know, I'm really liking it. I got some free keys to give away. Let's do a giveaway.
Right.
That's it. That's all you do. Like, you just offer up the goodwill and the good fortune to everyone else. And that's how it grows the brand. People are more aware of the product. That's how you do it. You build goodwill and you build trust that way, because you're going and you're saying what you think. And it may not be the, like, so if I gave you a copy of Triad Wars and then you played it, you know, it's no longer a game. But if you played it and you're like, you know what, I don't really agree with them, and here's why. That's part of it, though, because you're getting voices out there about a product. That's all that matters, is they just need a microphone. They need a megaphone to get this.
Like, any press is good press.
Any press is good press. Exactly right. Yeah. So this guy...
He's being really honest about his hard-on for this.
Yeah, he's being really honest about being the most dishonest person I've ever heard. And, like, I've been in sales, we've both been in sales, customer service stuff, but never in my life have I heard anyone go this sort of batshit, loco, hard-eye, crazy for. So he's talking about Skyrim's graphics. And yeah, they look fine. Like, they've got upgraded, the textures are a little better. But it's fine. It's a good-looking game. I wrote down some quotes. I literally went through the first, this, and guys, this is the first 5 minutes of a 13-minute video. I couldn't even finish the video.
I couldn't even, I was going to tell you. I couldn't finish the video either.
I can't finish it.
I can't.
This is, there is so much maple syrup in that shit that you like have to swim through it. You know, you just can't get away from it. So
it's such a soaked pancake.
It's just melty pancake, just falling off the fork, just nastiness. So, dude, I have three quotes here, and these are verbatim. I paused the video after I was laughing. I paused the video and wrote down word for word exactly what this guy says. This is just three quotes. And oh, buddy, if you want to talk about performance art, listen to all 13 minutes. Because this is on another level. But, okay, so the first quote. This is real. Guys, I'm not kidding. This is going to be in the show notes on comedahobo.com. Go see it. Hear it for yourself. I don't even know. Okay, so quote number one. Quote, I've actually felt less immersed in real-life forests than I do in Skyrim Special Edition's wildernesses. End
Dude,
quote.
That triggered me. That exact quote triggered me.
And I was like, what the fuck? That's when I knew we were off the rails, man. And this is like 2.5 minutes in to a 13-minute video. Number two. Quote, the fog and haze are dense, catching the surrounding colors and acting as a canvas for the long cast of shadows to paint with. End quote.
I hear that. I'm like, it's fucking fog.
It's like, you're a Bob Ross. Like, what the fuck do you know about canvases and painting?
Happy trees and shit.
Yeah. Okay. This is where I started, like, I had to walk away. quote, the light interacts with the water's surface with an artist's touch. End quote.
Oh, gosh.
What? Are you a wine connoisseur? Are you a wine connoisseur? Like, there's a slight ember. Like, oh... The residual effects of the applewood really
Like what's he swishing?
Yeah, right. Oh, it smells of mahogany and like what's this guy?
Peter Oak.
Yeah, it's just a ripe peach with. Oh. And it goes on for 13 minutes of this. Like he says so many words and doesn't say a single thing. That's what makes me mad. Like, because he doesn't say anything. He has 15 minutes to talk about a game that people are excited about, and he just starts going off on this Bob Ross shit, and I'm like, are you going to say something in this? Like, what are you... You're wasting people's time.
And even before that, he was saying, like, I got a preview copy of the game, as well as just in time that I got an Elgato HD 60 by the people from Elgato. I was like, dang, this guy's getting, like, all the free stuff.
Yeah, maybe that's what we need to do, man. We need to just start talking like that, and then we'll get sent everything. Dude, let's talk about that. Let's talk about KFC, and they'll send us some free chicken.
Oh, dude.
Dude, we got a list. Oh. We got a list. We're gonna shill.
You know what you say? Let's shill KFC, dude.
Let's do it, man. Brought to you
KFC.
Brought to you by this legendary. This segment of Brothering Around. Brought to you by the delicious chicken tenders at KFC. Their finger looking good. What's their? I don't even know their slogan. Like, they're definitely not going to give us a sponsorship now.
Yeah, no, it's for you. No, you got it.
Is that right? It's finger looking good. Is that still it?
Depending on which colonel is talking.
Oh, that's right. You got the old colonel. You got the Dolph Ziggler colonel.
You got Dolph Ziggler colonel.
You got Super Kick colonel.
We can be the next colonels.
Oh shit! That's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's a really good idea.
If anybody's good with Photoshop, you should Photoshop me and Kami in Colonel Sanders.
Absolutely.
Outfits.
But that guy, so that video, it put me in a great mood and a terrible mood all at the same time. It was giving me all kinds of ammunition. I was like, oh, this guy. I was rubbing my hands together and I was like, whoo-hoo! Like, we've been in the game for a while. And kids, if you want to know the definition of a mark, that's a mark. Like, 100% a mark.
Dude, they can't do no wrong.
They marked him hook, line, and sinker, man. Yep. They sold him all those carny games. Oh my god. But like, I'm gonna put it in the show notes. You might think we're over exaggerating about this, but sincerely we're not speaking in hyperbole. We're telling you the truth. We're being good brothers. We're letting you know ahead of time, but you just got to listen to this guy. And maybe that's the deal, because it has like 650,000 views, so maybe we need to do that. Maybe all of our videos just need to don't say anything,
be clickbait,
just clickbait. This woman's reaction will change your heart forever.
You're right.
Doctors hate him. One unique trick for six-pack abs.
Reason number one, yeah.
Oh. You'll never believe what we found on the side of the road.
95 ways to have better sex. Why is there 95 ways?
It's like, wait, why did... You need 95 of them? Shit. Like,
only two work for me. I mean, unless you want to like make me a sandwich, like an extra credit one, but sure, right?
I'm gonna have it off to the side there. I'm good to go. Yeah. Oh my god! But yeah. Once clickbait dies, yeah. I guess this is a form of clickbait. I guess that's true,
dude. Like it was like a clickbait. I mean, you were showing me a video that was like promotional, I guess, to its roots or to its core.
Sure.
Then it became like coming to America. Your royal penis is clean, Your Highness. Like it came to that. Like the hell? What is all this?
Oh yeah, just goes off because it starts off fine, and he's like, oh, they've added volumetric rays and three-dimensional lighting and the fog and all the stuff, and I'm like, okay. So he's giving me a rundown on the technology side, and then he's going to show me some pretty pictures.
Legendary developers of
Bethesda. By the absolute legends.
4 seconds? I was like, oh, all right. Yeah. Then I was like, okay, that's why Kami said he was.
5 seconds in, man. Because, like I said, we've been in the game for a while, and like you can tell when people, because there was a big deal when gaming magazines were everywhere, you could tell who just reposted a press release. because of the way it was worded. Like, they would all open up. Like, oh, perfect example. Whenever Call of Duty, what was it? World at War, I think, came out.
Right.
Every single article, and you could probably go Google search this right now. Every single article, because this is whenever I was kind of with Ziff Davis and all that stuff. Every article we would see would always start off with, like, World War II, yeah, we know, it's been played out. And then, like, the lead into the second paragraph would always be like, but don't put up those M1 Garands just yet. Like, it would, like, lead in. But that's the exact lead in that I think 70 publications used. Because it was set out for the press kit. That's what it said on the press kit.
Yeah.
So you see that, and you have access to this stuff, and you're like, oh my God, they just copy-pasted. They copy and pasted an advertisement. They wrote it, and they put it that it's some editorial. They put, like, a journalist's name on it. Said this is an editorial. They just copy and pasted the ad. And it was all the same. The only thing more played out than World War II games at the time was the freaking things talking about how played out World War II games were. Like, that that was the irony. Like, that was the only thing more played out. So it's, the whole market's always been this way. But to see it, and here's the deal. You want to talk about, quote unquote, like, journalistic integrity and stuff. These kids aren't journalists. This kid's probably 19. He hasn't gotten a free thing in his life. But now he got an Elgato and Skyrim Special Edition on the same week. He's on cloud nine. He's like, oh, I'm hot shit now. Let me talk about how great all this stuff is. So hopefully they'll give me more stuff. But that's not how the game's played. Like, you don't shill because then people don't trust you and then you lose your audience. And then, you know, that's not how it works. But oh my God, like, made me laugh. And then I got furious and I had to send it to Marco. And I was like, we're talking about this. We're talking about it. Oh man! But that's
like, what is Tommy talking about? I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I just sent him a Skyrim video, and I was like, God, this is terrible. Like, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I could tell you're like, okay, yeah, I'll check out the video. And I was like, he's not prepared. He's not prepared for what's about to happen.
I was not prepared whatsoever.
Because that's on that a different guy just made move. Yeah. Oh,
dude.
But that's on my neck of the woods, man. Like, BlizzCon starts tomorrow. I took off work so I can watch it.
Hey, you know.
That's it, man. You can do it. Do what you got to do. Get paid to watch BlizzCon.
Exactly. You know, you got the sick time now.
That's right. Accrued paid a few months time. Of it. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That paid time. So we're doing that.
Bev was on Twitter just saying, he's wondering what's going to be coming out of BlizzCon, and I think he's saying he hopes that Diablo 4 gets announced. And I just replied to him, like, I'm pretty sure they just confirmed it without confirming it.
Yeah, see, I'm kind of wondering,
like,
yeah, the rumor is, because I mean, this is the 20th anniversary of Diablo.
Yeah.
So this year Diablo turns 20. So they're doing something big, but the leaked stuff so far is for Diablo 3, the Necromancer class, unless the Necromancer class is actually the first class revealed for Diablo 4. So that's now,
interesting.
Yeah, so like, there's stuff to be excited about, there's murmurs around, there's leaked art. I haven't really looked at all the leaks, because I kind of want to, you know, get it live. I want to see crowd's reaction. I like that whole kind of feel. It's the same thing for E3 spoilers. I don't really like spoiling myself on E3. If I see spoilers here and there, I don't care too much.
Yeah.
But it's like, I want to see the crowd's reaction. Like, whenever they formally announced that Final Fantasy VII remake, oh, you would think that building blew up. Like, it was great. So that's the stuff that I really like about the show, is let me see the big crowd's reaction to this news. That gets me more excited than anything. The more people are excited, the more excited I get. Like, it's contagious. It's just, like the same thing for Evo. Like, you see a crazy, like, semifinal, and that crowd is going out of their mind. Jeez. Yeah, it builds up so much, and you're like, I gotta watch the rest of this. I don't care if it's 3 in the morning. I gotta watch the rest of this, you know?
Like, semifinal, like, when it gets to the final stage, it's literally, like, game 7 of the World Series that just happened like yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, just
and shout out. Shout out to the.
And like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Yeah.
It's chaos. Just absolute chaos. And shout out to the Cubbies, by the way. All them Cubbies listening. You guys broke that curse.
Yeah, the curse of the old
curse of the Billy Goat finally done after 108 years. Crazy, man. Oh, it kind of on this same thing that kind of tied into pro wrestling. So Dave Meltzer, you know, he's a main editor of Wrestling Observer newsletter. He's been in the game since like the early 80s. He does the star ratings. So like five stars, five star match, four star match. Like his star rankings are kind of the Mark's version of, you know, like that's kind of our Academy Awards. So like what got the five star rating from Dave Meltzer. So Dave Meltzer talks about something on Twitter. He was like, one day I wish that pro wrestling would have the kind of acceptance and love and like just the sheer volume of viewers that baseball does. And I was like, yeah, that'd be great. You know, just in my mind. Then he had a whole bunch of people commenting to him. Oh, no one watches baseball. Everyone watches pro wrestling. Like how many people watched WrestleMania compared to the World Series? And you're like, what? Like if you want to do those numbers, WrestleMania, they claimed they got a big turnout because they had 2 million viewers. Game 6 of the World Series got 26.7 million just in America.
Right.
So it's like, it's not even on the same planet. Like, baseball.
I don't know where that logic would come from.
I guess people just think reality is what they think it is. Like, oh, I don't like this thing, so clearly it's not popular. Like, no, that's not how it's like people saying, what? Who watches soccer? Like a billion people watch soccer. Thanks.
The whole world?
Every single place on the planet, maybe?
Except the U.S. That's who watches soccer. U.S. is starting to watch it now, but yeah.
Yeah, with all the Olympics and stuff. But yeah, so exactly. It's like us saying, oh, who watches? What do you mean? What do you mean soccer? We have the real football here in America. And it's like some blow-off game will have half a billion viewers. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's not even on the same level. But yeah, it just blew me away. And I was like, that's why pro wrestling fans get a bad rap. Is you got...
Yeah,
you got,
they kind of want to make it like...
bigger than what like it is.
Inclusive and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, they want to be like, oh, well, no. Everyone loves WrestleMania. It's like, no one knows about WrestleMania. Like, that's not a thing.
WrestleMania is like the general show to watch.
Yeah.
You know, rather than like going to like a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view or like I mean they're making like Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, they're big pay-per-views,
right?
I mean, they've always been that way, but like they're more like, because now SummerSlam's having SummerSlam weeks now, Royal Rumbles and Royal Rumble weeks where they have like a full week of like stuff to do, and so now their big pay-per-views are like their big shows now, and they're leads up to WrestleMania, which is the more like, oh yeah, everybody knows about WrestleMania.
Right. But
after that, like they're all, you know, go back to like not watching until like the next WrestleMania comes around.
Yeah. Who's going to watch Backlash? Like,
right.
Just us.
Or Roadblock.
Oh, Fastlane.
Right.
But yeah, it just made me laugh. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. These people are going crazy on Dave Meltzer because he said, hey, we should be more like baseball. Who watches baseball? Try fucking everybody. So that's who watches baseball. But yeah, so, you know, it's like, yeah, we can be marks sometimes. But what's the old saying? Like, we may be dumb, but we're not idiots. We don't think that wrestling's bigger than what it is. We understand it's a niche, like, thing. Like, it's just a very small subsect of a subsect of a culture. And like, we get it. Like, yes, that's part of the appeal, actually, because it feels like your own and you feel like an ownership of it. No, I found this indie guy before people knew who he was. You know, it's like our hipster version of I heard that band before they got famous.
Yeah.
But yeah, just BlizzCon happening. But the big hitter, I think, this week. Sorry, I keep like burping because I have. Okay, so quick side note. I have So do you have like a Yeti cup or like a kind of a thermos cup?
I personally don't, but we do have them around the house. Yeah.
So like Yeti is this company. I know they're big in the Midwest. I'm not sure how big they are on like the West Coast. They make a cup that's like an outdoorsy cup, to where, and like, I'm not a big outdoors guy and like, who the fuck cares? Cause it's a cup, but this cup is really good. It's a, cause I got the knockoff Yeti, cause a Yeti cup just for a 30 ounce thermos is like $45. These things are freaking expensive, but they keep your drink cold. And I'm talking ice cold for like 6.5 hours.
Nice. Okay.
So like it's legit. Like it's the real McCoy. And like Walmart has a knockoff brand for $10. I got that Yeti knockoff, baby. Oh man. Mm-hmm. It's good times. 30 ounces, $10. Deal it. You know.
Okay.
Doing it. Speaking best cup shilling. Ever. Yeah, oh shill. Brought to you by Ozark Trails. Keeps your drink so cold you were swear. You were in the glistening mountains of Skyrim. The shimmering of the snow, Marco.
I would rather climb a Skyrim mountain than the real mountain.
Oh my, I wept looking at the Skyrim mountains. My soul was on fire, Marco.
This dude needs to shut up now. Dude needs to just shut up.
Oh my god. That fucking guy. But the biggest thing this week, the thing I'm pretty amped about, and I bet you're pretty amped about this too. The Marvel recommendations. Big shout out to all kinds of people. I got people hitting me up from Penny Arcade. I got people hitting me up from platformers.net. I got people hitting me up from freaking Twitter. I got some direct emails, which I don't know how people get my email, but whatever. They hacked my server, apparently. No, I don't know. tied into the election.
Call me to hobo.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, callmedobo.com. Yeah, man. So
the website's so glorious. Just makes you not want to leave the house.
They need to tear down the internet to rebuild the internet because of how good that website is. Al Gore needs to reinvent the internet.
You need to not worry about global warming. You need to worry about how to get to commie2hobo.com.
That's right. But get your shit straight. Like, those priorities need to be in check. Don't have time for the small stuff. Don't worry about the election. Don't worry about global warming. The real things that are happening at commie2hobo.com.
I mean, you can watch Matt Hardy fight a kangaroo. That's fine. But then after that, go to commie2hobo.com.
Watch this episode of Brothering Around. And then remember, in the grand words of Camel Toe or whatever his name is, the light interacts with the water surface with an artist's touch. End quote.
Oh, man.
So, Marvel recommendations.
Speaking of Marvelous.
Okay. Oh, Marvel it. That's genius. We just found our pun.
There you go.
The Marvelous corner. Marvelous. Okay. So the Marvel recommendations. So we got a whole bunch of them through some really good ones. Because I really wanted, like, I'm fine with single issues. But I feel like there's so much that's happened in Marvel over the past like 15 years that there has to be a compilation set somewhere or like volume sets of good story runs, you know? So I'm willing to shell out $15 for a collection of 40 issues. You know what I mean? If they're all in one, like omnibus.
All them, yeah, omnibus. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm fine with that. Just to know that I have the whole story arc in one set, I'm fine with. Mm-hmm. So, do you want me to go ahead and read some of these that I got from other people, and then we go into what your recommendations are and like match them, or how do you want to do this?
Yeah, let's go ahead and list off what people are recommending you right now.
Okay, awesome. So, the main ones, let me bring up here. A lot of people said Miss Marvel. a lot of
which one?
So let me see.
Kamala Khan.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I hear that a lot too.
Okay, so that's like the one that I got the most of. They say that Miss Marvel Kamala Khan is some of the best writing Marvel's done ever. So that got my interest. Let's see. Yeah, the Miss Marvel series starting in 2014, and then the Hawkeye series that ran from 2012 to 2015 are some of the best Marvel comics you can read, period.
Yeah, I also heard something about Hawkeye as well. I think there was a hashtag out there that was kind of getting spread around called Hawkeye, because I guess, I don't know who mixed up what, but like, yeah, a lot of people were calling him Hawkeye rather than Hawkeye. Well, you can kind of mix that up, but like, yeah. It became like a viral like hashtag type of thing. But yeah, those two right now, Ms. Marvel and Hawkeye, I've been hearing really good things about those two comics.
Okay.
So, and that's, yeah, I would definitely probably would check them out.
Cool. And that's from Mr. G at Penny Arcade. So shout out to him. Cool. Let's see. People saying that there's just a whole lot out there. And some people gave fun like recommendations. So like, yeah, this isn't super serious and broody and stuff. But like, Spider Gwen is supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah,
just Spider as kind Gwen, of like a campy fun.
Yeah.
Let's see.
So like with Miss Marvel and Spider Gwen, those are like the new indie darlings, like okay. In terms of like Marvel, right? Like
gotcha.
like best newcomer or something, or best rookie or type of thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Those two comics in particular are like, yeah, because they came out of nowhere. Like with the new Miss Marvel and then like Spider-Gwen. Spider-Gwen is an alternate dimension or reality character that is being sent to the main Marvel universe because she's so popular. Same thing with Miles Morales with Spider-Man.
Yeah, gotcha. You know,
those alternate reality dimension type characters, they bring them over to the main universe because they get such a cult following that, you know, they have their own series. It's still going strong. And yeah, you can't go wrong with those three right now that you listed.
Good deal. Okay, so someone mentioned, let's see, Atomic Tofu on Penny Arcade mentioned Jonathan Hickman's run on the Fantastic Four. So says that it's the best thing John Hickman's written for Marvel. So I don't even know like the authors' names, but anytime I'm getting like good recommendations from like on specific writers. Let's see. Okay. So
to say about Jonathan Hickman is that he had a good Jonathan Hickman is the type of writer that goes for the long burn. So like he'll set something up way back there and won't talk about it or maybe lead up to it like maybe two story arcs after or something like that.
That's
talk about it. That now, so like he's very much a long-term planner. So like his run on Fantastic Four, I heard it was good. I really liked him when he started writing on the Avengers, and I believe I don't know if I was sending you codes.
Was it that run Avengers versus? Was that the one Avengers versus X-Men or AVX or what was it called?
I want to say he was. That might have been during that run, or it might have been the run after that. So, like,
okay,
Jonathan Hickman's Avengers run, like that was going to be one of the comics that I was going to recommend when Jonathan Hickman started writing for the Avengers because of the whole long plan thing that he has going, plus the roster that he chose of the characters to put on the team. But yeah, we can go on about that like once we get to my.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then here's a list. Okay, so this is the list that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. One of them is Avengers by Jonathan Hickman. Okay,
yeah.
So we got that one. Cool. He did Avengers and New Avengers.
Yeah, Avengers. I believe New Avengers was at that time that was the Illuminati. Because New Avengers title name gets shifted around. So I believe Illuminati was the New Avengers. So you have like Mr. Fantastic, I think Professor X is dead at that time, but like it's like the pillars of each of the communities, like the mutants was Professor Xavier, science was like Mr. Fantastic, and technology was Iron Man, Doctor Strange was magic, Inhumans, you know, was Black Bolt. So like you had these pillars of each of the communities coming together as a team. Oh, and Black Panther and Submariner. And then, yeah, just trying to deal with things that are like dangers that the rest of the superhero community are dealing with. But like these guys are planning it behind the scenes and they're not even knowing that they're getting all together to plan these things out. So, that's the whole thing with the new Avengers run with Hickman.
That sounds cool.
You got to see that roster of Hickman's Avengers.
I'll probably look at it. I think all of these recommendations are ones that I can find on Comixology. I made that one of the requirements whenever I sent out like the beacon call. Like I need to be able to get these digitally so I can read them on my Kindle. So that Avengers and New Avengers by John Hickman, Captain America by Ed Brubaker. So the 2005 run.
Oh yeah, Brubaker was good. Was good on Captain America. He was probably Captain America's longest running writer, writer on that comic.
Let's see, Invincible Iron Man by Matt Fraction in 2008.
Okay, yeah, that was good.
Let's see, Thor: God of Thunder, 2012, by Jason Aaron.
That's Odin's son, right? Thor, Odin's son, the guy.
It's just called Thor: God of Thunder. I think I've seen it because on Comixology, it's put as the Marvel recommended reading. Like they have a whole like new to comics section, and then they do that. So that's where I've seen that name before. Is Thor: God of Thunder? So the fact that other people are recommending it too, and the website's recommending it, means I'm probably going to get it. And I'm kind of on a Thor kick anyway, because it's like that's someone I could dress up for as Halloween, like for Halloween. Like if I grew out my beard and then I just got a wig and then just like, I could just rock the Thor look. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see. Then 2012, there's Indestructible Hulk by Mark Waid.
I think I got like a few issues of that. Yeah, that was a pretty cool run.
Let's see. And then another Mark Waid joint with Chris Samnee is Black Widow 2016. So I guess the newest Black Widow stuff. He also recommends Hawkeye 2012 to 2015. Mm-hmm. It's Matt Fraction did that as well.
Yeah, Matt Fraction.
And then, here we go. And here's a name that I know too. So the new X-Men 2001. So issues 114 to 154 by Grant Morrison.
Grant Morrison.
Why is that name familiar? Is he Preacher guy?
I'm not too sure about that. I know he shifted to DC Comics. I think he's with. He's doing the whole Green Lantern comics. I mean, I don't think about now with the whole Rebirth line that they're doing, but I want to say like the most recent thing of John Morrison. Grant Morrison. Grant Morrison. It was the Green Lantern series.
I'm looking at I'm looking at his Wikipedia stuff because I want to say I've read a Grant Morrison book because that name sounds so familiar.
I'm pretty sure you could just Google and then look up anything that he writes.
It looks like he's done some Batman stuff in the 90s. He did Judge Dredd for a bit. Yeah, I'll have to take a look, but that sounds super familiar. So he got famous in the 80s as like part of the quote unquote British invasion with like Neil Gaiman, Alan Moore. So he's part of that group. Okay, that might be why that name rings a bell, is because he's mentioned in the same sentences as like Alan Moore and Neil Gaiman. So cutting back over and then Astonishing X-Men issues 1 to 24 and Giant Size Astonishing X-Men number one by Joss Whedon, of course.
Is that with Josh Whedon?
Yeah, yeah. So he's that was the one.
The recommendation.
Oh, really? Good deal. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a good list then. Like, so yeah, they're setting
me
up.
That's a pretty solid list.
Okay.
That's good recommendation. Nobody's trying to steer you wrong with that list.
That's good. Yeah. So yeah, let's go into yours. I'm interested to see kind of what heavy hitters, because I'm going to jot them down.
So yeah, as I was said before, Jonathan Hickman, Avengers, just the team that he chooses. The roster team that he chooses for Avengers, like it, they made Jonathan Hickman made the Avengers on like a more worldwide and galaxy scale like response team.
Yeah,
and you're gonna see it with this roster and like the story arcs that they do with the Avengers, and then you'll just like that it's a mixture of like it's like a mixture of like straight superhero to like street level people that can like graduate to like that more serious, you know, world threatening level, and even more so like could be cool using them in a galactic level as well, like space like missions and all that stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, Jonathan Hickman's Avengers, Astonishing X-Men, I think that was my first time back into X-Men comics because of Josh Whedon. Like I just liked his writing and it felt like coming back to it, like, okay, this feels familiar. Like I'm seeing these familiar characters and it looks like not much has changed, but maybe things changed a little bit because they're kind of getting back to, you know, what they were, you know, back then in the 90s as superheroes, but not so much of that 90s-ness of it, like big shoulder pads and big ass guns and all that stuff. So yeah, you get that more of like that 2000-ish tone of like what superheroes like are and the things that they deal with. So yeah, definitely Josh Whedon's Astonishing X-Men. I think because I know you were collecting some Spider-Man, I want to recommend Superior Spider-Man. Written by Dan Slott. This is a different take on Spider-Man because for whatever reason, like in terms of the story, like Spider-Man is Doc Ock. I mean, I'm going to spoil it anyway because it's going to tell you how did it happen. But
right.
for whatever reason or somehow, Doc Ock, Dr. Octopus, got his his memories or whatnot. He transferred himself into Peter Parker's body, right?
Interesting.
So now he has, I guess, because I believe Dr. Octopus was dying, and he needed to figure out how to like, you know, survive.
he pulled a Chucky.
Basically pulled a Chucky. Yeah, totally pulled a Chucky. So. So he accomplished what he did. So now he's in Peter Parker's body. So now he's realizing what the things that Peter Parker had to deal with as Spider-Man, and he's the only one that knows like his actual identity. Nobody else knows.
Interesting.
Marvel Universe,
who
Spider-Man is. So like he takes advantage of like his powers. He takes advantage of like his intelligence. He takes advantage of like the inventions he was creating, because I think in that time of the run, like Peter Parker was delving more into his inventions.
Okay.
So you will see like a lot of different suits and like gadgets and all that stuff.
Huh.
So you'll get like this, and I believe Mighty Avengers around the same time of the Jonathan Hickman Avengers run.
Mm-hmm.
He was in some of the other teams, but like you get this like douchebag Spider-Man, like not douchebag, like I'm making like, you know, his crazy jokes, but like douchebag he's an actual douchebag, you know?
Right. right.
Maybe he was a bad guy or something, but yeah, like a very, very douchebaggy Spider-Man to hero friends, you know? So now they're all wondering, like, what's up with Spider-Man? Why is he being such a dick?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would recommend Dan Slott's Superior Spider-Man. And we're going to go through this Marvel Now 2.0. But, like, once they get their, like, their hardcover, you know, volume of, like, a bunch of issues together, then that current run of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because, like, Spider-Man gets back, it gets back to normal. And then, like, Spider-Man runs a company now. Like, he's on Tony Stark level of rich.
Oh, wow.
Rich. You know, and then like, yeah. So we'll get into that. So Dan Slott, Superior Spider-Man, and then like the next, I would recommend once the the volume compilation comes together, the next volume of Amazing Spider-Man.
Amazing Spider-Man, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what else I was going to recommend? I was listening to a podcast and they were mentioning that there's this comic, I think miniseries or like in like, not the mini issues, but it was called Vote Loki. Loki runs for president.
Oh my God.
And, you know, doesn't take itself too serious. Like it's just the political climate, you know, of what's going on. And, you'll just see the you'll see all these cameos. I believe like one of the covers was like, Captain America running security.
Oh, nice.
I think it's just a cover, but like, yeah, it's Loki trying to become the president. Yeah. And like, you're going to wonder how this guy that lies all the time, is able to be able to do this, but he uses his ability to lie as like catchphrases, you know, like, no, like how The Rock says, if you smell what The Rock is cooking, like Loki right. saying like, I guess that was a lie. And then everybody's.
Oh my God. You know,
cheering for him.
So that's
say check out, if you're able to get that, I would say check out Vote Loki if you want like a political superhero tone comic to read.
Yeah.
What else is there? What else? I want to say, I mean, yeah, Hickman's Avengers, Astonishing X-Men, I guess that's it. I mean, like, I guess I'm missing some, or I'm forgetting that I was getting ready to tell you, but
yeah,
it's giving my head right now.
No, you're that's good. Because I mean, I'm glad that everyone's given me a list of like five, because a lot of them are overlaps. So I know the three that I'm buying immediately is the freaking Jonathan Hickman Avengers. I'm gonna be getting that Astonishing X-Men from Joss Whedon. And then I'll probably get probably that Hawkeye run, because I'm interested that there's quite a few people that said that 2012 to 2015 Hawkeye. Cool. But the fact that you brought up, you know, Jonathan Hickman, you said he does long burn, like long form storytelling. That's why I love Battlestar Galactica. That's why I love The Wire. That's why I love like all my TV that I like. That's why, is because there's going to be something they say on the second episode of season one that becomes pivotal at season four, episode 13. And you're like, oh, shit. Exactly. Like, you know, it's just that continuity. I'm like way into it. I thought about this, that if I were to give you a recommendation as far as like a reread, because I think you've already read it, but I don't know when the last time would have been, because I would like to for us to kind of read the same type of thing and then talk, basically we review it together, like we talk about it and like what did we think about it. And because now that you've read some of these runs and I'm going to start reading it, you're going to come at it from the grizzled veteran point of view, where it adapts and here's where it goes, but then I'm going to come in with a fresh set of eyes and be like, oh my God, can you believe when he did this or whatever. And I think that'll be a cool dynamic. But I would really like to hear what you think about Planetary.
Planetary. Oh yeah, you mentioned that.
I love Planetary. So I'm not even the biggest like comic guy in the world. Like I love The Crow. I love like Pride of Baghdad, Why the Last Man, like kind of stuff we talked about in a previous episode of Brethren Around. But to me, Planetary is the jam, because it sort of plays with your expectations. It deals with a group, and it's funny how you were talking about the the new Avengers and how it works on all levels, and you're getting stuff at the street level as well as like the big galactic sort of deal. That's sort of what Planetary is. Basically, they are a group of three. Well, I'll say four, but they're a group of, it starts with three, and then you figure out who the fourth man is. And the fourth man, that's one of the big mysteries of the book, is the fourth man could be any human being that has ever existed. That's who it could be. It could be anybody. Hey. So it could be the fourth man could be someone that's not born yet. The fourth man could freaking be Hitler. It could be George Washington. You don't know. But the way that the deal is set up is that they are a group to protect the weirdness of the world. So, like, they don't go to make... They're not superheroes there to save the world from the comet hitting it. They're the superheroes that exist to make sure the comet hits the Earth, because that's the way things have to be.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So they have to make some really hard choices that are they going to alter the fabric of space and time by saving the world, or are they there to protect the weirdness of the human condition? So, like, there's one deal where they go to a secret, and this is, I think, issue one, is they go to a secret island. Like, they just get sent to an island, and they're trying to figure out what this island is, and then they see big, you know, like, dinosaur footprints and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And near the end of the issue, all these helicopters and stuff start storming the island. And, like, military starts coming in, and then you hear this loud roar, and it's Godzilla. And you're like, so they're there to protect the war between Japan and Godzilla.
Yeah.
So, like, they have to make sure it happens.
Yeah, and not change anything.
Exactly. So that's what I found really intriguing by it, is, like, they are not there to alter anything. Yeah. They're there to witness it, but then there's a few issues later to where they hear of a ghost in Hong Kong. So they go try to go find out what the deal with this ghost is, and the ghost is essentially a John Woo action movie character. Like, he and his wife were murdered the night before their wedding, and he knows that the mob did it. So his afterlife proposal is to murder everybody in the mob. So it's so crazy, but it's written like a John Woo movie, like the whole thing. So each issue is written completely different, but it's to show you how weird and strange the world is and how all these cultures are different. And, like, it's a lot bigger than what you think it is. Like, whenever you're reading it, it starts going pretty deep and you're like, wow, there's a lot that's being said here. Because it's written by Warren Ellis, I think. So the same guy that did, like, Transmetropolitan, some of those longer form graphic novels.
Yeah, I'm familiar with his name. I think he did some Marvel stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, he's kind of a hit and miss guy. Like, a lot of guys hate him. Yeah. A lot of guys hate him. A lot of guys love him. I haven't read a lot of him, but I love Planetary. The way it's set up, it's just, you don't know why they're there or what they're really doing there, or, but they talk about, you know, some of the things they discuss are, like, the whole idea of a mass tragedy happening. Why doesn't anyone prevent it from happening?
Yeah.
So it gets into pretty serious territory, and it doesn't shy away from it, which I can appreciate. Because I hate the stuff that's kind of wishy-washy. Like, people talk about how genius, like, South Park is with social commentary, but then it's like they don't really take a side. They just say both sides are bad, and, like, that's their opinion, is like, everyone's dumb, but that's not really making a stand. But with Planetary, they actually make these choices, and then they tell you why, and it's an interesting read. I'd like to hear what you have to say about it in regards to the phrasing, and because I'm not sure how well it follows the quote-unquote comic books, like, style, like the narrative structure of a comic book. I'm not sure how it adheres to that, or if it does or not, but that's why I would like to hear what you have to think about it, because I don't know if there's anything like it, or I don't know if there's stuff that's way like it and you're like, oh, if you like Planetary, you'll love blah blah blah. because yeah. it's written the same way, or however it is. But that's So my recommendation is Planetary for you.
Cool. Yeah. So I'm glad how I'm hearing what Planetary sounds like. That's exactly what New Avengers Jonathan Hickman's run on. New Avengers is. I mean, yes, they're superheroes, but they have to make tough decisions. Like, I believe, if you do get it, this is probably the first story arc. But they realize that these alternate Earths or dimensions are dying, and they're being destroyed. So at some point, they have to decide which of these dimensions have to die, and they have to make that decision. Hmm. And a lot of these, all the time, a lot of these times, they're fighting with each other because, who is to say that Submariner makes the decision that planet or that Earth has to die, or what makes Iron Man get to decide why this planet has to die and kill off these people because they need their Earth needing to survive, So I'm hearing a lot of the same lines of New Avengers and Planetary. So that's cool.
That's neat.
Yeah. So I know I before we end up with the Marvel discussion, I sent you a link to go ahead and click on it. Okay. Just to, because this is things of what's going on pretty much around today or the current. So when you want to get another batch of recommendations, we can take a look at what these the next lineup of Marvel comics that's going to be coming out. And then as soon as they have their compilation, that story.
Better recommendation. Yeah. And for listeners at home, what we're looking at right now, we're on a website, cbr.com. And this is called the Full Marvel Now 2.0 lineup.
Yeah.
So this is kind of Marvel 2.0. So you could even type that into Google search, Full Marvel Now 2.0. And then it should pop it right up so you guys can follow along at home and kind of,
So you're seeing what they're going to be announcing or what's going to be moving forward, the next lineup of Marvel titles. I'm bypassing Avengers 1.1 because it's a backstory of how these bad guys like Quicksilver, Hawkeye and Scarlet Witch gets enlisted to the Avengers. But the original Avengers are super against it. So that's more of a backstory. Occupy Avengers is an interesting take because Hawkeye, something that's happened in Civil War II right now, Hawkeye kills the Hulk because remember the post that I put in comedyhobo.com on the forums of if you had a choice of stopping crime before it starts or innocent before proven guilty.
Right.
So that's the premise of Civil War II. They find this person that can predict the future. This character predicts the future that the Hulk rages on and kills everybody.
Yeah.
So there was a contingency plan with Bruce Banner and Hawkeye. If Hawkeye sees that he's about to rage out or turn into the Hulk, he kills him. So that happens. There was a trial. He gets acquitted, or he's not guilty because, either they did the whole Earth a favor. But anyways, Hawkeye is by himself now. He's kind of almost rejected by the superhero community because of what he did. So now he's going around, around the U.S. or maybe around the world, and he's solving real world problems, whatever issues that are kind of plaguing your community, in terms of maybe of crime or whatnot. Yeah. So he'll be going around the U.S. with other non-powered superheroes and doing the community's superhero stuff. I guess street level, but and you see all these other people here. They're really nobody, but this basically saying this is America. I'm gonna be solving your problems, the real problems, rather than solve who's gonna destroy the Earth, this week type of thing.
Right.
So Occupy Avengers, I would definitely keep an eye on because it's Hawkeye. David Walker and Gabriel Pada. Okay. Yeah, I would say just keep an eye on Occupy Avengers for one of them. Champions, if you're ever a fan of those teen superhero books, like the New Warriors and what was the other one? Like New Mutants type of thing. Champions, you know, it's all the teenagers from the prospective teams. You know, you have a Kid Nova, you have there was a comic book of the Vision, and the Vision created a family. And like, that's the daughter right there. And then, you know, Miles Morales, and then Totally Awesome Hulk, that's the name of the comic. Miss Marvel, and then the younger Cyclops. You know, Avengers 1, if you still want to be up to date on Avengers. Let me see. Uncanny Avengers, I believe I was sending you codes for these when I was getting comics. This is the matchup team of like Avengers and X-Men. Right. At this point, they're adding Inhumans to the mix because they're trying to just basically have everybody all together, you know, getting along and stuff. That's why you see, well, like Cable with like Johnny Storm. That's the that's the second guy to the right, all the way to the right. Gotcha. That's Johnny Storm, and then like Wyatt is like Deadpool with like
right.
It's just a mixture team of these people trying to get along as they continue to do superhero stuff. U.S. Avengers. This is pretty cool because it's an American-themed Avengers team.
Oh, my God.
You see, so, like, this relays to Jonathan Hickman's run on Avengers, because Sunspot and Cannonball, who are mainly known on the X-Men universe, got transferred over to the Avengers. And then, at this point in this cover, you see, like, it's in a... I guess the USA wants... like their own sanctioned like Avengers team. So they have Sunspot, you have Cannonball, you have Squirrel Girl, you have this version of like of an Iron Man, and then you have the Red Hulk, which is I believe Thunderbolt Ross.
That's so hilarious.
It's just an American comic, and then I would definitely keep an eye on this because maybe it's like it doesn't take itself too serious, but like it's fun. It's like a fun comic book type of thing. So keep an eye on U.S. Avengers. The Illuminati thing is just like a bunch of these superpowered people together trying to solve like galactic problems. Like Galactus is part of their team, and I don't know if you, like who you know, like know of Galactus now. Like he usually eats worlds, but like he's a part of the team because they fixed him in a sense. Let's see. Thunderbolts, if you like the whole bad guys doing good guy stuff, that's a comic book you should probably take an eye on, because Bucky or Winter Soldier leads that team, and you see the cover of Captain America and this other character. Thunderbolts, if you like that kind of stuff. Invincible Iron Man, don't know what's going on with the Tony Stark per se, but like this is one of the Iron Man I was telling you about. Like their newest character, Riri Williams, just created an Iron Man suit, and she's like 16 or something. Infamous Iron Man. This is Dr. Doom donning an Iron Man suit,
and that's a rad cover, by the way. That painting is awesome.
Yeah. So like he mixes like his what he looks like usually with an Iron Man suit. I hear Captain Marvel's really good too. Hawkeye, another Hawkeye number one, as you can see. I think it's just talking about Kate Bishop, which is like the female Hawkeye. Captain America, Sam Wilson, has a lot, like I believe their current story arc has like a lot of commentary on the whole, you know, cops versus like
Black Lives Matter,
like,
and
Black Lives Matter and like thing, and as you can see, Falcon is the current Captain America. So he has the shield. So like the whole hashtag take back the shield. Yeah, because maybe they don't agree with how Sam Wilson does things. And then also Captain America, Steve Rogers. The whole thing about Hail Hydra. This is where they're at right now. So if you want to find out what's going on, why is Steve Rogers a Hydra agent type of thing? This is where you should wait for the compilation.
Comic
book, and then just read and go ahead and give it a read. I hear some good things about Silver Surfer, Black Panther getting a push, of course. And then you have a team of like, what, Misty Knight, Storm, and Luke Cage. Jessica Jones being famous off the TV, like the Netflix show, Unstoppable Wasp, I don't know much about. Doctor Strange getting a push, if you want that mystical stuff type of thing. Let me see. Unworthy Thor. You were talking about Thor.
Yeah, there was an event.
Yeah, there was an event where Thor became unworthy of the hammer. So he, as an alternate thing, he was like wielding like a big ass axe that he's holding right now.
Yeah.
And he lost his arm for whatever reason. I think he probably during a battle.
Right.
So, but he finds out that there's another hammer out there. So like, this is where the story takes place. So he wants to be Thor again.
Yeah.
And the reason why he wants to be Thor again, because there's already another Thor, and it's a woman.
Right. That's right. Which is awesome.
Mighty like, Thor. Yeah. Mighty
so,
Thor.
Which, so awesome.
There's some spoilers out there, but Mighty Thor, if you like, you want to know who it is, like you can basically Google like who Thor, Mighty Thor is, and you'll find out who it is. But yeah. Let's see. Black Widow. Yeah. If you want the spy thing type of stories, Moon Knight gets like a little bit of a cult following because like the basis of his character is like he has multiple personalities, but those multiple personalities are other superheroes.
Oh.
So like he has a personality that's Wolverine. He has a personality Spider-Man, or you know. So yeah. He'll get into like his other personalities and they'll do what they usually do. The Punisher, if you like just Punisher killing people and just being Punisher. Right.
Pretty self-explanatory, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Kingpin having a comic book. Bullseye having a comic book. Let's see. Power Man and Iron Fist. If you like that combo. Let's see. I'm trying to make sure there's anything else. So, yeah, you're Miss Marvel. Death of X. You can see that's basically what's going to start the whole Inhumans versus X-Men.
Right.
It's because it's the thing that it's called a Terrigen Mist, which creates the Inhumans, but at the same time, it kills or it makes the mutants sterile at the same time. So they can't like, you know, make more mutants or like they'll die off through if they even inhale or pass through this mist.
Gotcha.
So then that's what creates the war between them. Let's see. Yeah, you got some Guardians of the Galaxy solos going on. Thanos, Clone Conspiracy. I believe that's a Spider-Man event. Let's see. Spider-Gwen with Miles Morales. Miles Morales and Spider-Gwen kissing. Spider-Man 2099. If you're a fan of the 2099 series, Spider-Man 2099 has been going for a good while now. Maybe like two years. Venom, I think it's a new Venom in the suit. Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows is basically when they kind of set in an alternate reality where MJ and Spider-Man are married and you know they have a kid, so basically they superhero all together.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, Deadpool, you know, if you love your Deadpool, of course. I would probably recommend Deadpool as well, because you know since he got a push, you know, because of the movie.
From the movie,
he has more prominent position. Well, he's an Avenger now, and like things are going good for him and his story. So, yeah, probably something you want to check out. And Deadpool, and the Mercs for Money. Deadpool has his own team of mercenaries. And there was some before this team that you're seeing. There was some heroes that you may have recognized in like the 90s, like Marvel cards. You remember collecting those Marvel cards?
Yes. And
they had those like the rookies, like Fool Killer and like Slapstick.
Oh, that's great.
Those guys show up in that team. Oh, speaking of Slapstick, yeah, they're bringing back the old 90s rookies. And they're giving them their own like series to see if they're like they can, you know,
catch on.
Go good. Yeah, catch on. Yeah, there's a Nova series. Yeah, there's a Kid Nova, and then I think they're bringing back the Richard Rider Nova. And I believe that's it. That's it. That's the entire Marvel Now 2.0 lineup.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, so whatever I said to recommend, check it out. When they come out in compilation, I would definitely would check them out. To keep current, like, you're not so much of buying single issues, but like, yeah, buy the compilation of like that story or that character.
Full deal. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny, I just sent you a link. So apparently Comixology does have the full John Hickman run of New Avengers.
Nice, yeah.
All 33 issues for like $50, I think, whole deal. Each one of them is $2. You can buy them separate, but you end up saving like 25% or something by just buying the full bundle. Okay. And 33 issues is not a bad run. Like, that's not overly long. It's not super short. Like, you're getting your money's worth with something like that. Cool. You could say that the pages are so crisp. Like the most delicious apple straight from the orchard.
I want to eat this apple so much more than an actual apple.
Yeah, I would rather eat this digital apple.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That fucking guy.
Yeah.
But those are great recommendations, Ben. I'm glad that all the big thanks to everybody that gave us those recommendations online.
Yeah, man. That's
and cool. Big shout out to you, Marco, for making sure, one, the list is legit. But two, your list also having repeats of what other people recommended as well. So now I'm feeling way more confident about kind of just going and blind buying, because there is a fun thing of blind buying. Like, I hear this thing's really cool. Let me just buy it. I'm just going to buy it and like buy it and see what it is and figure it out. And there's an excitement to that. I'll probably actually, whenever we end this episode, I will purchase that whole set of the John Hickman. I think that'll be the one. That'll be the one I go for. I'll read up on some of that before next week. We'll start chatting about it. But before we leave, there is a new thing that we're going to do for Brethren Around. And sort of how we're doing with the Marvel recommendations and recommending things for each other to read. Now, that idea we can blossom out. And every week, we're going to alternate on a recommendation, and this could be on a book, this could be on a movie, this could be on a video game, this could be really on anything. Anything that we like that's kind of a diamond in the rough or something that just has to be seen or played or heard. It's a general recommendation, and I think Marco's starting us off right. Marco's starting it off to give me a recommendation of a thing. So the cool thing is, guys, whatever we recommend, go out and watch or play or listen to as well. Go do that, because the next episode, so next week, we are going to follow up about this topic. We're going to talk about it that way. Think of it almost like a book club, but it doesn't even have to be books. It could just be something that we watch, that we listen to, that we play. Exactly. Then we can come back and we can discuss it. So what is it? I'm interested. You haven't given me any clues. You said you found a thing. I don't know what this thing is.
So, what am I going to recommend to you is, I know you don't watch anime at all. At least like now you don't.
Right.
So I know it's anime. It's whatever, but I'm going to recommend this one to you just to check out. Maybe like episode one, and I there's only like, I want to say like maybe five episodes are out right now.
Gotcha.
But there is an anime called Tiger Mask W, I believe.
I've seen some pictures of this.
Yeah, this is
so. This has New Japan Pro Wrestling people in it, right? Like Tanahashi
Tanahashi, Okada, Makibe, and I believe Yuji Nagata.
Oh shit!
And I think that's it. I think that's it. But yeah, it's a pro wrestling anime.
Oh man,
set super seriously because the story, I mean, I want you to watch the episode. Like, the story premise is, like, their mentor gets, like, really beat up, and it follows the story of, like, a student and the teacher's son, and they go down different paths of, like, trying to, you know, get up to the guy that beat up, you know, their teacher,
their dad. Right, yeah.
So, but you're seeing how wrestlers, like, try out type of thing. And it gets to super extreme ways. Like, just watch episode one. Like, how this? There's no way this is like real wrestling tryouts, because people would die on doing these things. But yeah,
that's great. You
Tiger Mask W.
Tiger Mask W.
Yeah.
So
subtitles and yeah.
It reminds me. It's like, it sounds like Bloodsport. Like, it's you know those old 80s and 90s movies. Like, you know what the quality. The quality of a good, and by good I mean shitty, 80s to 90s movie is how often do they have a tournament?
Yeah, exactly.
And how exactly. Often does the crowd start chanting stuff like Kumate, Kumate, Kumate? Like, and they have that build up, and like they put their hands in the glass, right? Like they have that the oil, and it's just that underground like blood death fight.
Right.
Every movie had that for some reason. And it didn't even make sense. It could be a romantic comedy, but they had to go pick up their friend and he was an underground barbaric fighter or something. Like, every movie had it built in somewhere. And you're like, why is this a thing? But then you have the classics like, you know, freaking Bloodsport is kind of the jam. And Bloodsport's the one with the Jean-Claude Van Damme dance, right?
No, that was kickboxer.
Kickboxer. See, there's another one. Just you. So it's like your shit got messed up. Now you got to redeem your shit. Like, that's what the story of all of that. So Tiger Mask W is in, from what you're saying, it's in the story tradition of Kickboxer, Karate Kid, Bloodsport.
Actually,
you see what I mean? Like, they killed my master. They, you know, they disrespected Master Miyagi. So I will now teach them the error of their ways with a crane kick to the face.
Have you heard about the whole new Kickboxer movie? So people have, I guess the people that I've listened to watched it, right? Yeah. And so the whole, it's the same premise, right? You know, brother is a famous fighter. Brother thinks he's you know, really good, but then he gets invited to do Muay Thai. Do the Muay Thai match. So they're talking about this, and like, you know, same thing. Oh, I think the brother dies in the new movie,
right?
So the younger brother wants to take revenge.
Yeah.
We find the teacher. The teacher is Van Damme in this movie.
I'm in. I'm in.
So what was it? I think they were saying, like, you know, the younger brother's like, I want to avenge my brother because, you know, that guy killed him, and then Van Damme and all these other people, including the bad guy, is saying, like, no, your brother chose to do this, like, on his own right. Like, he don't have to avenge him whatsoever. But their brother is like, no, I don't care. You're an idiot.
Oh, that's hilarious. But I always love that, too, to where it's – because let's be honest. At the end of the day, I mean, we're both martial artists. But at the end of the day – Mr. Miyagi didn't teach Daniel-san how to believe in himself. He taught Daniel-san how to kick people in the fucking head.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, let's be real for a minute. Like, put the montages and whatnot, but like, he taught him how to kick a dude in the face. Like, Mr. Miyagi was on the up and up. He was like, okay, you know, you shouldn't have a hateful heart, but if you do, here's a good kick to know. Like, that's kind of how that's set up. So I think that's hilarious that all of those movies have that scene too. They have the scene. It's like, no, I must get revenge. And then the old wise master is like, no, you do not go in. You do not go in without a clear mind. Like, they have that sort of, your heart must be pure.
Yeah.
So we're gonna teach you, and then we're gonna break you and unteach you.
Right.
It's like, what?
That's basically what Muay Thai is for me right now.
Oh,
to unlearn everything.
Yeah, but yeah. Just unlearn, and they're going to teach you how to. So in your boxing stuff, have they taught you to kind of cut up the ring yet? To where, like, you make the ring into quadrants. So, like, you cut it in half, and now your footwork's only in half of the deal. And then you got someone in the corner, so now your footwork's only in the corner. Like, changing your stances and stuff depending on where you're at as far as, like, ring awareness.
I haven't done that yet. Yeah, I haven't done that yet. Maybe I'm getting to that, but no, not there yet.
That's going to be cool. You're going to know how to, like, stand in front of people at line at Starbucks. Like, you're just going to be able to, like, yeah, perfect angles everywhere. Like, no matter where you're at, you fit perfectly in there.
Yeah, so good. Dude. Yeah, I'll let you know when I do get into that.
You know, the only thing that will be more perfect than your stances, Marco?
If they were in Skyrim?
This glistening...
And they're better than real life?
The glistening snow that blesses the mountains. I saw such beauty in Skyrim. I went blind, Marco. My eyes saw the truest majesty they'll ever see, so then I went blind. Now I'm like blind Kenshi, and I wear a headband over my eyes.
Blind Kenshi.
Because now I can't. Why should I see anymore? Because I just saw Skyrim Special Edition out now by the Legends of Bethesda. This episode's brought to you by KFC.
So what you're saying is get Skyrim.
Nah, fuck that game. See, that's real talk. That's what you get here on Brothering Around. Just fuck that trash. Like, that's all. That's put that on the back of your box. Oh, but, you know, my name is Wes Gardner, Mr. Commie to Hobo. Hit me up, twitter.com/commie to hobo. That's Mr. Marco Flores, Mr. Nerd in the Bay. You can hit him up on Twitter, twitter.com/MarcoPolo177. This episode has been graced by the spirit of the Colonel Sanders and
Dolph Sanders
super kicking his way to our hearts. And remember, kids, that don't be a fucking mark like Mr. like Mr. Skyrim.
Oh, dude.
Oh, jeez. But yeah, we'll be back. So everyone, go watch Tiger Mask W. We'll see you guys next time with the grand spirit of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
There you go.
See ya.
Peace.